Okay, we'll call to order the council meeting for July the 9th. If everyone would stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Remain standing for prayer.
Dear Lord, bless the decisions of this body, guide us tonight, the future as well. Amen.
Can we have roll call?
Here.
Kim Westphal.
Here.
James Patton.
Here.
Glenn Rowe.
Here.
Dan Avalas.
Here.
Shelley Rowe.
Here.
Kim Salters.
Here.
Mayor Yalcomb.
Here. Adoption of the agenda.
I want to change something on the section C in the old business. We did not have first reading on the food vendor ordinance, so
we'll just remove that.
We'll just remove that sentence. Other than that, everything else is okay, and I make a motion that we approve the agenda with that amendment.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Vice President Westphal to approve the agenda.
Question.
Scott Brown.
Yes.
Jim Westphal.
Yes.
Wayne Chapman.
Yes.
Brian Crowe.
Yes.
Dan Avalas.
Yes.
Shelley Rose.
Yes.
Kim Salters.
Yes.
And the agenda is approved by a vote of 7-0. Need approval of the minutes for June 25th.
Motion to approve the agenda or the minutes from June 25th.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Vice President Westphal to approve the minutes as presented.
Question.
Scott Brown.
Yes.
Jim Westphal.
Yes.
Wayne Chapman.
Yes.
Brian Crowe.
Yes.
Dan Avalas.
Yes.
Shelley Rose.
Yes.
Kim Salters.
Yes.
And those are approved by a vote of 7-0. Petitions, memorials, and remonstrances. I've got a couple things here. First off, I want to extend our thoughts and prayers to a couple of former employees' families. Firefighter Mark Rainey has passed since our last council meeting, as well as B. Kaiser, who worked several years for the police department. So our thoughts and prayers are with both those families. And I also would like to say thanks to St. Francis Xavier Church for allowing us to use the parish center for the last 6 months. It's good to be back in here, but I appreciate them making it convenient for us to have our meetings over there. Does anybody else have anything? If not, we'll go to committee chair reports.
The committee for community growth had a meeting discussing ordinance 12-2018. We made some changes that are not in the ordinance yet, but I will be adding those to the ordinance for the hopefully second and third reading in 2 weeks.
Thank you.
And Mr. Mayor, the Committee on Recreation, Tourism, and Public Areas met July 2nd to discuss the landscape ordinance, made some recommendations for changes. Those were incorporated into the ordinance that was distributed by email on Friday and been as part of your packet. And I'll be talking about some of those changes as well as some of the other changes that occurred from the first draft of this ordinance when we get to that.
Okay. Any other reports?
I'd like to, the Pantheon Business Theater group met since the last meeting, and we pretty much, the majority of the meeting, we discussed the layout of the facility. Andy Mizak gave a PowerPoint presentation that outlined the how the layout, the cost, the timeline. Bottom line is we're looking at about a year from now when it'll be completed and we'll be ready to go.
Okay. Any other reports? Report of city officers.
Chief Dusty Leaking, Vincent's Police Department. I'm excited to come to you guys tonight to introduce my four new officers that were sworn in at the Board of Works meeting today. I mentioned to them, first of all, I would appreciate, or like to let you guys know that we appreciate what you've done to help us get the ball rolling on things. And we do still have one vacant position, but of course, the council and the Board of Works and the Mayor of Ford, they work hard with us to make sure everything's in place so we can do that. So I do appreciate that. The four officers that we have with us here tonight are units number 225, 226, 227, and 228. I mentioned in the last meeting we had some retirees in there that were 107s and 120s and all that. So we've come quite a way in not so many years. The first officer I'd like to introduce is Preston Swick. He is unit number 225. He's 29. He was born in Fort Riley, Kansas, and raised at Fort Hood. However, he is a graduate of Vincent's Lincoln High School 2007 and a 2011 graduate of Vincent's University. He's spent the last 6 years at Wabash Valley Correctional Facility, two as an officer and four as a supervisor. He married Chelsea Swick in 2013, who is a nursing supervisor at Good Samaritan Hospital. He has a son, Kelvin, born in 2016, and a second child on the way in December of this year. Next is 226, Jonas Leifer. Jonas, 22. He was born and raised in Central Illinois near Effingham. That's train country, Dwayne. So he developed a strong interest in law enforcement and sciences through high school, and he has an associate's degree from Lakeland Community College. He worked for the Lawrence County Sheriff's Department for about the last year, and his wife, Allison, and he are here with us tonight. Thirdly, we have Maverick Wells, and Maverick is kind of the first for Vincent's Police Department. He is our first lateral transfer. He was born in Northwest Indiana and was raised near Dyer. He attended Lake Central High School, and an SRO, school resource officer like we have down here, enticed him into taking a look at law enforcement as a career, and he must have taken that to heart. He went to VU. He was a campus safety officer while he went to VU, and then was hired full-time as an active sworn officer, where he's been for 2 years. He has already been through the Indian Law Enforcement Academy, so he will go through a modified field training program, and we'll be able to get him out on the road quickly. He was in the class of 212 there with the ILEA. And lastly, we have Heather Halsman. And Heather is 21. She grew up in Crawfordsville. She went to college at Vincent University. She has an associate's in conservation law and a bachelor's in homeland security. Played on the PU girls golf team for 2 years. She has recently married her husband, Eric Halsman, and she's a competitive shooter, and she likes the outdoors. And I mentioned earlier, and it is so important that, you know, we're losing a lot of longevity with these retirements. We're losing four officers with a whole lot of time, about 150 years with all the officers that have left this year. And we're replacing them with these individuals that we think are going to do a great job to fill their shoes and continue to build the public trust for Vincennes. So we're excited about that with Heather. We are losing a female officer with Barbara Helderman. So it's we're really looking forward to having Heather come on as well. And she can be a role model for our young ladies in the community and make the contacts that sometimes the guys can't make. So.
With that being said, these are our new officers. Okay. We'll move on to old business. First up is Ordinance 8, 2018, amending Ordinance Number 2980, Landscape Ordinance. Your first reading was May 29th.
Motion for second reading for Ordinance 8-2018.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Vice President Westfall. Have second reading of Ordinance 8-2018.
Ordinance number 8-2018, an ordinance of the Common Council for the City of Vincennes, Indiana, amending Ordinance number 2980, as amended, sections 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, omitted.
Discussion?
Mr. Mayor, I mentioned earlier the Committee of Recreation, Tourism, and Public Areas met July 2nd and discussed the ordinance. I made some recommendations from some changes, but with those recommendations, did vote to recommend to the council adoption of this ordinance. Let me just run through, I think you all have copies of the ordinance in front of you. I'll just run through and highlight the major changes since this was first introduced. In Section 2A, it is including in the membership of the Tree and Landscape Board, a representative of the Knox County Soil and Water Conservation District as a non-voting member to provide expertise to the group. Then in Section 2E, it defines a variance, and a variance being approval of a petition to not comply with all the minimum standards. So that is defined in 2B. Then in Section 3, we had discussion in the committee about the unique aspects of the older part of the city in meeting the standards due to the confined spaces and small lots, et cetera, et cetera. So Section 3 basically says that the historic district is exempt from the minimum standards while still encouraged to landscape the vehicular service areas as much as possible. But basically, they would be exempt, recognizing the unique standards or unique aspects of the historic district, as well as the fact they have another set of regulations being in the historic district that we didn't want the two regulations to come into conflict. But I did bring a map of the historic district, and I'll just pass it down to remind people what the boundaries of that district are. Okay, Section 4 was changed. There was some concern about the amount of landscaping that was required in terms of islands within the vehicular service areas. That was reduced from the original draft at 324 square feet and reduced to 200 square feet, which is basically one island for 16 parking places. Now that only 200 square feet for an island versus the original 324. Section 5D has the addition of criteria for granting a variance from the minimum standards. Much of that language in 5D is from the Board of Zoning Appeals and how they make decisions. So that much of that language is incorporated into there. Then 5E is, and originally we had the ordinance to, if there was an appeal from the decision of the Tree Landscape Board, under our original draft, it would have been appealed to the Board of Works, and now it is being appealed to the Vincennes Board of Zoning Appeals. It just felt the discussion to the mayor and the city attorney that the Board of Zoning Appeals is more used to dealing with these kind of land issues, and so that was a more logical place to put that. So those are the major changes that are incorporated from the original draft that you saw. I would just make a couple general comments, and the first being that landscaping has been public policy in the city of Vincennes for 38 years. The original landscape ordinance was adopted June 23rd, 1980. So this is not new public policy. It is tweaking the policy that has been in effect for a long time. And it's really been a policy. I served on some of the early landscape commissions. It's really been a non-controversial issue. I don't recall in the years I was on the landscape commission that we had issues that even came to city council. Those issues were able to be resolved at the commission level, and I think that will probably be true going forward. We have had some comments in favor. I have a letter from Jim Spencer, who was an original proponent of the Landscape Commission back in 1980, and he did write the council a note that he addressed to President Scott Brown. If anyone would like to read that note, I could read it if you wish, but basically it's just talking about there was a need for it back in 80. There's a need for it today, and it'll make the city a more attractive community. And last, I would just say that there have been multiple surveys and public discussions, including some of our planning sessions for our stellar grants and strategic planning grants and, well, just all sorts of different discussions, including what the United Way has done for several years as part of their listening project, and that KCDC did as part of their strategic planning, where the constant refrain that comes up from the public is that we need to make our community more attractive, and this will help do that. So for all those reasons, I would suggest that we do go ahead and adopt this, and I think it will, you know, as I said, continue public policy in effect for 38 years and well serve our community.
Any other discussion?
When we first went over this, my biggest concern was flexibility. I do appreciate Councilman Chatton looking at some things and making some changes, you know, some changes to make things a little bit more simplistic and a little bit easier. I still do have concerns when it comes to flexibility and how easy it would be for people to be able to appeal and go through the process. I know that you stated that, you know, we don't really have a problem with, you know, people have an issue, they'll appeal it with these minimum requirements, and there's never been an issue. So then my question would be, instead of minimum requirements, why aren't they just recommendations if they're not going to be, I mean, if we're not going to fight it, if we're going to try to just make sure that we work well with the businesses of the city, so there's a good relationship working there. I know I'm not a big fan of a one-size-fits-all kind of thing, because we've got a lot of unique businesses, similar to what, you know, downtown, extremely unique to the areas around Vincennes. We have other areas, too, that have certain circumstances and things that might crop up that you would have some issues with, that the minimum requirements would throw some issues at. I think we could use Councilman Grove's business if he had to do anything or update anything. There would be some issues if he wanted to change some things out in front of him because of the situation that he was already in. So I guess the big reserve that I have here is the minimum requirements. Like saying that this is what we have, and I know that we've discussed that well, they'll just come and appeal it, and it'll usually be taken care of because in the past it has been an issue. So then to me, it's what's the point of having a minimum requirement instead of a recommendation? Like, we all agree that we want to see things better in Vincennes. And you're right, a lot of the surveys that we see, one of the things people want to see is the city spruced up, the city look cleaner, landscape added to buildings. And I will compliment a lot of our builders that are out there right now that are doing a great job in putting landscape out there without us having these certain requirements. So flexibility is still a question for me. I do appreciate the work that you put forward in this, and there were some good changes forward. I thought about this a lot, and to me, wouldn't it just be simpler for somebody just to present their individual landscaping plan to this board, and then you just work back and forth with that instead of these minimum requirements to that? But I mean, that's just a thought as I was going back and forth. I do apologize for not making your committee meeting, but I was with Steve as we were with MetroNet going to our parks to making sure that those plans were getting solidified, and those were kind of during the same time, so I do apologize for that.
Well, just to address that, what I was referring to in the years that I served on the Landscape Commission is that we were able to work out issues at that stage. I could be wrong, it's been years ago since I served on that, but I don't recall an appeal actually taking place. So I'm not talking about working out things at the appeal stage, I'm actually talking about working things out at the level of the tree and landscape board. If I draw your attention to 5D, and I'll just read that short section, because it's talking about what you're talking about is variance, where you have some issue with a property that has difficulty meeting the standard. 5D says, any variance from minimum requirements that are approved shall be in harmony with the general spirit, purpose, and intent of this ordinance. A variance may be granted by the LRC, which is the abbreviation for the Tree and Landscape Board. A variance may be granted by the LRC in specific cases if applicant demonstrates that strict application of the terms of the ordinance will result in practical difficulties in the use of the property, and that variance approval will not be injurious to adjacent properties or the general welfare of the community. So I think that language gives the Tree and Landscape Board the latitude they need to deal with properties that, due to their size or unique circumstances, has difficulty meeting the minimum standard. But I still think the minimum standard is needed, because if you were to have an ordinance that just says, well, these are suggestions, I don't think it would be taken seriously. But, we have a developer here in the audience by coincidence, Andy Mizak. Maybe he could address that, being someone that deals with these sorts of things.
Thanks, Mr.
Sitting in the front row.
Most of the communities we work in, I was just in court a little bit ago, I just literally drove back, they have minimum standards that you have to meet. Indiana Housing, who we develop our projects with all over the state, they have minimum standards that we have to meet. So, from a development standpoint, yes, there are minimums that we have to adhere to.
But Andy, what you're working with mainly is new construction.
Correct.
My biggest issue is, if we try and impose this on existing structures, the original plans did not have landscaping in them, so it would be so hard to go down 6th Street, none of those businesses, and a lot of them have gone through recent remodels, all of them would have had to come and get a landscaping permit, and none of them can meet the requirements, or they would have no parking. So my biggest issue is, I don't think we can impose this on existing businesses that are wanting to remodel, just because the original structure is placed in a situation where the parking has been designed around that structure, and then this is just another hurdle they're going to have to go through to remodel, and most of the existing businesses couldn't meet the standards.
I think that's why he was saying, if you have a variance, you apply for variance to do it.
But why wouldn't we just leave that out, or write that into the ordinance, to where existing, just like Go Chicago's, all of that,
property lines of the building, Pantheon, property lines around the building. So
yes.
There will be no landscape.
Right.
No, nothing.
And I would point out that property and several other properties you can probably cite are within the historic district, which are specifically exempt from the minimum standards, while encouraged to meet as many standards as they can.
But the historic district, a lot of the structures in Vincennes, all of Vincennes, which is already mostly developed, have been built on those standards of small lots and, all the 6th Street, there's no way. There's just, I don't see how Chavez could have incorporated the requirements for this and still have parking.
Well, again, I think 5D, if I can read it again, but I think it gives latitude enough for that board to deal with those issues. And the entire theory behind a landscape requirement is that a community over time will become more attractive as properties are redeveloped, and new properties, or if you have vacant properties that are developed for the first time. It takes time and it takes enforcement, but it does work. And, as a matter of fact, the standards in the ordinance that we have in front of us are basically a watered-down version of Bloomington. And anyone that's been to Bloomington will know it's one of the most rapidly developing communities in the state of Indiana. So developers are not unfamiliar with these kind of standards, I think it's safe to say. And developers aren't shy about seeking variances when they need them, as I discovered when I was on the Landscape Commission. So I think developers are going to stand up for what they think is in their best interest. The board's going to be a fair arbiter, and with this kind of language in 5D, they'll have the latitude to do that. And if they don't, then it can be appealed to the Board of Zoning Appeals, which will be another level that variances can be granted. So I don't think it's going to discourage development. And I'm more concerned about the businesses out there that do take the time to invest in landscaping and making their properties attractive, take a number of banks along our corridors, that then have a property next to them developed, and that person doesn't do anything, because that is a disincentive for the businesses that do landscape to be next to a property that doesn't. And certainly I'll concede there are properties out there that are not going to meet these standards, but I think the Tree and Landscape Board will be a fair hearing group to work out variances with those people. But even if you can't meet the standard, and this is really the point of having a minimum standard, if you can't meet the standard, oftentimes that board, with the expertise provided by someone who's familiar with landscaping, can suggest ways that property can be as attractive as it can be, even though it's not meeting the standard. And I don't want to point out a property, but I will. The car wash at 6th and St. Clair has way more concrete space in the front than is required to operate that car wash. They could have taken a good part of that corner and turned it into landscaping and not missed a lick in terms of serving the public with car washes. So could they have met the minimum standards? I don't know. But they could have met a standard.
That was a new construction.
Well, it was redevelopment of an existing property. And then in a town like Vincennes, you're going to have more redevelopment.
They leveled the building, and they could, and I agree with you, they could have done landscaping, but it was because of how the building would be situated on the property.
So, once again, I think the way we have the ordinance written now, it provides ample latitude to deal with those issues, while at the same time moving the community forward, making it more attractive.
Any other discussion?
Yeah.
Question? Call for question.
Shirley Rose?
Yes.
Tim Salters?
No.
Jim Westfall?
Yes.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Brian Grove?
No.
Dwayne Chapman?
Yes.
Dan Robert?
Yes.
And second reading of ordinance 8, 2018 passes by a vote of 5-2.
Motion for third reading on ordinance 8, 2018.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Vice President Westfall for third and final reading of ordinance 8, 2018.
Ordinance number 8, 2018, an ordinance of the Common Council of the City of Vincennes, Indiana, amending ordinance number 2980, has amended sections 1 through 11.
Discussion? Questions? Call for question.
Shirley Rose?
Yes.
Tim Salters?
No.
Jim Westfall?
Yes.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Brian Grove?
No.
Dwayne Chapman?
Yes.
Dan Robert?
Yes.
And third and final reading of ordinance 8, 2018 passes by a vote of 5-2. Move on to ordinance 11, 2018, ordinance establishing three funds for the Vincennes Redevelopment Commission bonds. Your first reading was June 25th.
Motion for second reading on ordinance 11, 2018.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Vice President Westfall for second reading of ordinance 11, 2018.
Ordinance 11, 2018, ordinance of the Common
Discussion?
Call for question.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Ryan Burrow?
Yes.
Dwayne Chapman?
Yes.
Dan Rivera?
Yes.
Ken Salisbury?
Yes.
Sarah Bros?
Yes.
Jim Westfall?
Yes.
Second reading of ordinance 11-2018 passes by a vote of 7-0.
Motion for third reading for ordinance 11-2018.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Vice President Westfall for third and final reading of ordinance 11-2018.
Ordinance 11-2018, an ordinance from the Common Council of the City of Vincennes, Indiana, establishing a fund for the Vincennes Redevelopment Commission, sections 1 and 2 of that.
Discussion?
Call for question.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Ryan Burrow?
Yes.
Dwayne Chapman?
Yes.
Dan Rivera?
Yes.
Ken Salisbury?
Yes.
Shelley Rose?
Yes.
Jim Westfall?
Yes.
Third and final reading of ordinance 11-2018 passes by a vote of 7-0. Next is ordinance 12-2018, ordinance regulating the operation of food vending vehicles.
Motion for first reading on ordinance 12-2018.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Vice President Westfall for first reading of ordinance 12-2018.
Ordinance 12-2018, in accordance with the Vincennes Common Council regulating the operation of food vending vehicles, sections 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 on the list.
Discussion?
Mayor, this was brought up you had asked us to bring an ordinance together to kind of put a handle on what we can do and can't do as far as operating food trucks in the city. We did have the committee meeting, and we are going to do some changes, not many, but those will be available for the second, third reading.
Okay. And under changes, I'd also like to mention that maybe if we put in there that we'd mentioned the health department and insurance, if we mentioned that proof that you've reported to the assessor's office is personal property, even though in some cases you wouldn't pay anything anyways, but just so that it's on record for...
Y'all have that, but we can have it in there.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Call for question.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Ryan Burrow?
Yes.
Dwayne Chapman?
Yes.
Dan Rivera?
Yes.
Ken Salisbury?
Yes.
Shelley Rose?
Yes.
Jim Westfall?
Yes.
And first reading of ordinance 12-2018 passes by a vote of 7-0. Move to new business. First up is ordinance 13-2018, ordinance vacating a portion of a platted public way beginning at First and Broadway Street and ending at the Wabash River.
Motion for first reading on ordinance 13-2018.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Councilman Westfall for first reading of ordinance 13-2018.
Ordinance number 13-2018, in accordance with the Common Council of the City of Vincennes, Indiana, vacating a portion of a platted public way beginning at First and Broadway Street and ending at the Wabash River in the City of Vincennes, Indiana. Sections 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 on the list.
Discussion?
Thank you. I'm Jeff Goff, Cowboy Living in Kirkhoff. Our client is Mizak and Palmer. But the petitioner, as you know, this is Robinson Green Elevators, Inc., who are the current property owners. This road lies smack dab in the middle of what we assume hope to be Riverview Lofts, and it is necessary, of course, to vacate it in order to continue with that project. Mr. Mizak, as you know, is here and can answer questions about the status of the project. But the closing of the road is going to be primary
first. Yeah. Not the rezoning.
Any questions? Basically, Broadway Street's platted through that property.
Yeah, I mean, this doesn't have to go to the area. Like, we're going to vacate it. So. It's just.
That is correct.
Right.
Yeah, well, I've been here before on Butt when we built the same day surgery center. Mm-hmm. And this is the same procedure.
Okay.
It's a platted road, and it runs from First, actually runs into the river, and all you have to do is vacate the plat.
And would it be all the way to the river?
Yeah.
It vacates the Broadway all the way to the river, yes.
So, in essence, we would vacate part of the Riverwalk then?
Oh, no.
But that would be...
Please keep in mind that Broadway is the street being vacated, and the Riverwalk is not a platted public road. But it's never been used. In fact, I believe there's improvements over the top of it already that have been there as long as the grain up there.
Right.
Is there a time limit on this? Like, do we need to do this all tonight? Or is this...
No, we were going to come back July 23rd for your second and third reading.
I didn't know, because I know that some of these projects, we do have time limits up there. I didn't know if that was the case.
Do they have to have a public hearing for...
No.
Okay. I just want to say, I've seen you notified all the adjoining properties.
Yes, you'll see that the Cherokee Properties, Bartholomew, Palmetto Room, City of Vincennes have been notified, Children Family Services, Rex and Beth Frye, Second Street Development, and Valley River Farms LLC.
Okay, any discussion?
Any other comments? Questions?
All for it.
Call for question.
Dan Revelle?
Yes.
Shelley Rose?
Yes.
Tim Salters?
Yes.
Jim Westfall?
Yes.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Ryan Burrow?
Yes.
Glenn Chapman?
Yes.
And first reading of ordinance 13-2018 passes by a vote of 7-0. And while you're here, we should mention that it is Cobb, Rolligan, and Kirchhoff's 200th anniversary of that law firm.
We're 199 years old-ish.
Okay.
Next year,
we're doing it. All right. Okay.
But thank you very much. All
right. Well, congratulations.
Next is Resolution 19-2018, a resolution authorizing transfer of funds from fire pension death benefits to fire pension medical expenses, an amount of $2,500.
Motion pass Resolution 19-2018.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Councilman Westfall, or Vice President Westfall, to approve Resolution 19-2018.
Question. Ray Chapman?
Yes.
Dan Revelle?
Yes.
Shelley Rose?
Yes.
Tim Salters?
Yes.
Jim Westfall?
Yes.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Ryan Burrow?
Yes.
And Resolution 19-2018 passes by a vote of 7-0. Next is claims.
I'd like to approve claims in the amount of $423,512.10.
Second.
Motion by President Brown, second by Vice President Westfall, to pay the claims in the amount of $423,512.10. Somebody needs to call for a question.
Call for a question.
Scott Brown?
Yes.
Ryan Bell?
Yes.
Dan Revelle?
Yes.
Glenn Chapman?
Yes.
Tim Salters?
Yes.
Shelley Rose?
Yes.
Jim Westfall?
Yes.
And by a vote of 7-0, the claims are paid. And now it is my honor to present the Vincennes Spirit of 76 Award winner, Mr. Richard Day. Typically, we do this at the 4th of July parade, but he was out of the country, so we have invited him here tonight. I'd like to say that Mr. Day has been a historian and interpreter of the old French house, past employee at the Lewis Historic Collection at Vincennes University, and most currently in multiple roles as Vincennes State Historic Sites. He has worked previously at the George Rogers Clark Historic Park and has been on the Historic Review Board for the city. He has had a long legacy of involvement with the Vincennes Historic Antiquarian Society, the Old Northwest Corporation, and the annual Vincennes History class taught through the genealogy collection of the Knox County Public Library. He has provided a lot of information and knowledge on history of Vincennes, and we want to recognize that and congratulate you. And then we also have a reception.
Very good company. They're all people that I admire. I will begin with these.
as a historian, I feel that I am very fortunate to have been born and raised in Vincennes. History is basically stories. The stories we tell in the community about how we got here and why we do things and who we are. And I've been accumulating these stories for the last 60 years at least. The story that I remember best was my grandmother would take us out on the Catlinette Road and tell us about how my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather Nicholas Cardinal was out there hunting ducks one day, and he met a ragtag bunch of people wading through the water, and that was George Rogers Clark and company. There may have been some Rabelais there, too.
I think there were. I'm sure there were. Yeah.
But that was the story she told, and since then I've been accumulating a lot of these stories, many of them I've told. We've also, of course, written articles and books and statues. The statue of the Sieur de Vincennes is a notable addition to the story of Vincennes, that missing first chapter, as it seems. And I can assure you that in the future I will continue to tell these stories about Vincennes. And thank you very much.
Okay, and then we will have a small reception out in the lobby.
Mr. Mayor, can I just add that his research is being used all the time. Just last night at the Harmony Society, we used your research and your pictorial book of the history of Vincennes to celebrate Abner T. Ellis's birthday, which was yesterday. He was born in 1803, and of course, the home of the Harmony Society. So your research is used all the time, including just last night. So
good.
Okay. Well, nothing else. We just did a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
We are adjourned.